As we continue with our series on Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, I want to encourage everyone to take some time every day to read one chapter. If possible, use a different version or translation to discover the nuances and uniqueness of this most beautifully written letter of Paul. I am sure by the time we finish with this series, you will have read Ephesians at least a dozen times, and I know that God's word will not only bless you, but will tremendously transform you by the power of His grace, that you will never be the same again. One reason why we want to study Ephesians is that this precious letter of Paul reveals God's unique grace to and through the church. Here in Ephesians, Paul tells us God loves the church so much that He, through His grace, has given us all things in Christ, that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. It is by God's grace that we receive salvation. It is by God's grace that we are equipped to do every good work. It is one thing to define a church or the people that belongs to a church. We should say that we are people who have the grace of God, not just in us, but flowing out of us to be a blessing to the community around us. And this is important as we were reflecting together last week on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. To summarize, it is about who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. And I listed about 12 blessings that we have in Christ right now. So in that sense, we are rich beyond measure because of who we are in Christ. And in one sense, this few verses from chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, it reveals to us our identity, our belonging, and our purpose. So when there are times we feel that we are not growing, or we sense there's a lack in our spiritual growth, often it comes back to one of this situation when we lack a revelation, or we stop growing in that revelation of our identity or our belonging or our purpose in Christ. When I do not know that I am a son or a daughter of the Father or the Most High, I can serve God as a slave, or I can serve God with an orphan spirit. When I do not know I have been made by Christ to belong to Him, I will find it hard to feel I have a belonging in a community. Because God has done all things for us in Christ, and because we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us, it is possible for us to be a community. We can perfectly fit together only if we want to. But when we do not walk in the revelation that we belong to Jesus Christ, we will often have that struggle, feeling that we don't feel belong to one another. And also as a community, when we do not have that revelation of us having our identity established in Christ, or we have that sense of belonging to each other, we find it hard to serve together. We find it hard to fulfill the purpose that God has set before us in Christ. So the more we meditate, the more we reflect and draw strength from the revelation from verses 3 to 14 of Epistle chapter 1, our life will be transformed so tremendously that we can live out our identity, our belonging, and our purpose as a people of God. So this morning, we want to read together from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And basically, to summarize what this passage is about, is connecting what we do with what we know. It's about connecting what we do and what we know. And basically, I want to talk about this morning and how we can pray life-changing prayers. And sometimes we feel that there's something lacking in our prayer life, or sometimes our ideas of prayer is so limited. We think the only prayer as Christian we ought to pray is just the Lord's Prayer. We forget that in the New Testament, there are many different kinds of prayer, many different kinds of prayers that we can pray as believers. And one of these is found in chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. And let me read to you what Paul said to the Ephesians. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And we need to understand, as I said earlier, that we do not just pray the Lord's Prayer as believers. It will be great if we begin to remember some of these prayers in which is so beautifully worded by Paul, that if we can just remembering it, somehow write it up somewhere, put it in your kitchen, put it in your car, put it in your bathroom, and every day start praying that prayer of what Paul is saying to us, that we may know what we have in Christ. I'll tell you, it will make it easy for you to receive from the Lord. Because as your faith grows up, as your faith is being built up, you will come to a place where you are fully persuaded that nothing can stop you from possessing what God has for you in Christ. Many times we feel we don't have it, but the truth is we have it. And because we feel we don't have it, it has to do with our lack of understanding how we ought to pray. And so this morning, I just want us to focus how we can really pray life-changing prayers that not only bless us, but bless the people around us. And I want to start with a story of a little boy who wanted a red bike with a small bell and a basket. And he wanted to pray to God about it, but he doesn't know how to pray. So he decided to visit some local churches to learn how to pray. The first church he went to was a very traditional church, and he learned from the pastor how to pray. And then he went home saying something like this: Almighty God, Father of all creation, Thou who is all merciful and compassionate, Thou knowest my need before I utter. So I beseech Thee that You will grant me a red bike with a small bell and a basket. Nothing happens. And so the next Sunday, he went to a Pentecostal church and to learn more about how to pray in a Pentecostal way. And so he went home saying something like this: Father, I proclaim and claim that red bicycle with a small bell and a basket is mine in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you that you let loose my blessing right now, and Satan, lay your hands off, because you can't rob me from what God has in store for me. Amen. Nothing happens. So the subsequent Sunday, he went to a Catholic church and found out from the priest that Mary was a mother of God, and Mary can intercede on his behalf, and Jesus will certainly hear her. That night, the boy went back to that church and stole the statue of Mary and brought it home. Then he prays, Jesus, I got your mother, and if you want her back, you will do as I say. Of course, this is not a good example of life-changing prayers. Paul set for us some example of how we ought to pray life-changing prayers. The first is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. He says, Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Life-changing prayers is not just about ourselves. Life-changing prayers is to pray for our community. It's about us opening our hearts towards the things of God. See, when you and I have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, this faith in our Lord is best expressed in our love for people. The truth is, you cannot go further than your love. When your love stops, there your ministry also stops. Let me repeat to you. You and I cannot go further than our love. When your love stops, there your ministry also stops. John 3:16 tells us, For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. So in that sense, God loved the world so much that he was willing to give his most treasured possession, that is his beloved son, to save us. But if God doesn't like the world, he would not have done so. So in this same sense, when you and I have a love for certain people, there our ministry will grow. And the more we love certain people, the more we love a nation, the more we love a certain group of people in a community, God will expand our ministry. God will give us that sense of authority and power to pray for them. And also God will release us gifts and resources that we can bless them. So imagine for a moment, if you love your family members or you love your colleagues, God will give you the authority and power to pray for them, because those prayer is not just a quick prayer, but those prayer is a fervent prayer asking God to favor them. And God give you that strength, God gives you the authority to pray for them, as well as God releases resources that you can be a blessing to them. And here is what Paul is trying to inform the Ephesians, that after hearing their faith in Jesus Christ, their faith was not just about them feeling good about their salvation in the Lord, but that their faith transformed them to be a blessing, that they love the saint. And who are the saints? As I say, that saints are every believer. We are all made saints by our Lord Jesus Christ. But when we are called to love the saint, we must bear in mind we are not called to love people who think like us or look like us or believe like us. The saints incorporate a larger vision. The saints includes those who may not be like us, those who may not vote like us, those who may not agree or believe like us. You know? But the most important is this, is that we are called to give thanks for each other. Paul gave thanks for the church. And this is something that you and I are challenged by the word of God if we want to pray life-changing prayers. How many of you, by the show of hands, pray for First Light regularly? How many of you pray for First Light regularly? Now, this is not to guilt trip anybody, but it's so important that we need to pray for our community. We need to pray for unity. We need to pray for the love of God to flow in our hearts and flow out of our hearts to be a blessing to each other. That we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to keep on empowering us, that we can be a blessing, not just to each other, but to the community outside of our own family. So in that sense, the more we can focus on Jesus Christ, he gives us the ability to love people much more than we can. Because if we love people by our own strength, we have not fully take hold of the gospel. But when we fully take hold of the gospel, he can empower us to love people much more than we can by ourselves. But we are empowered to love people more heartily, more wholeheartedly, because of our standing of the gospel. So this is the truth. You and I cannot get to know Jesus better by ourselves. There is no such thing called solo Christianity. We need the community. We need each other. And so when we learn to walk with each other, when we learn to have spiritual conversation about Jesus Christ, like the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, when we have spiritual conversation about where we are in our journey, we become an encouragement to one another. And so this is important. To pray life-changing prayer first is not just praying for ourselves, but we also learn to pray for the community, for the family God planted us in. The more we can pray for this church, the more we can pray for what God is going to do through First Light. God gives us the authority, God gives us the power to really pray for something of a great shift that will come upon us, that First Light will be a church that really shine for our Lord Jesus Christ where he plants us. But much more, when we pray for this community, God will also cause us to release resources that he has blessed us with, that through our community, we can be a blessing to the people in our city as well as in our nation. The second thing we can learn about life-changing prayers is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Here Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And it's interesting that when Paul was praying for the church, he was not just praying just for the Ephesians that they have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, but rather, if you look in context, Paul was also praying for the whole region of Asia, where Ephesus is situated. And so he's praying for this whole region that God, the Father of glory, may give the spirit of wisdom and revelation that people may come to know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is an apostolic so-called prayer model. And because we have been made by Jesus Christ to be an apostolic community of the sent, you and I can pray this prophetic prayer or this apostolic prayer, not just for ourselves, for our community, but we also can pray for our city, for our country, that God will give a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation that people may come to know him. So this is the second thing we can do, is when we pray life-changing prayer, is for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be upon everyone, that everyone may come to know the knowledge or the true knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And what is wisdom? What is revelation? Well, first and foremost, revelation is the God-given ability to discover nuggets of gold in the Word of God. Revelation is a God-given ability to discover nuggets of gold in the Word of God. You know, sometimes when we read the Word, we say, I don't understand. The truth is, if we don't understand, don't give up reading the Bible. Just pray for God to give you the spirit of revelation to uncover so-called the truths that are in the Word of God. Sometimes we feel that, you know, it's hard to read the Word of God. As I say, there's no such thing called solo Christianity. If you find it hard to read the Word of God by yourself, read with someone else. Read together in your 3-2-1s or in your life group, and ask God to give everyone the spirit of revelation to discover truth. And when we discover the truth, God will also give us a spirit of wisdom that we can apply those revelation in our lives in a practical way. So revelation is the ability to discover truth. Wisdom is the ability to live up the truth in the most practical way. And we will grow according to the size of our revelation we have of God. We will grow to the size of the revelation we have of God. And many times our own spiritual growth is limited by our willingness to receive from God. The best way to receive from God is to study the Word of God. And the more we study the Word of God, the more we know the will of God. And the more we know the will of God, the more we can receive all things that we have in Christ. Knowing that we are already blessed is the most beautiful thing. But to know how we can live out that blessing in the real and tangible way comes from us. It comes with us cooperating with the Spirit of God. And so the more we spend time studying the Word of God, and the more God will enable us to grow from grace to grace, from truth to truth. And often, you know, we get distracted by serving God, or we get distracted by so many things around us that we don't give our best time to really sit down by the feet of Jesus, to sit down to receive. And so here Paul is trying to tell us that those who ask God for spiritual wisdom, those who ask God for spiritual revelation, they will grow in their intimacy with God. And the more we have this sense of intimacy with God, the more it will shape the quality of our relationship with God. Now, sometimes we look at our Christian life, we feel that, well, there's some more things I can grow in. Or sometimes I look at my Christian life, I feel that, no, I'm not very satisfied. And somehow we try to fix it. And the truth is, you can't fix it unless you really yearns for that sense of intimacy with the Father. And this intimacy with the Father comes when we pray for wisdom to be upon us, the revelation to come to us. The more we are filled with the Word of God, the more we are empowered by the Word of God. And Ephesians 1:18 tells us that when we pray, he was praying for the church, he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And this is beautiful. Paul is telling us we need to pray that we can receive the fullness of Christ. You may say, but Pastor, I thought I have everything in Christ. Yes, you and I have everything in Christ. But the truth is, you and I will realize we have not experienced that fullness. It's just like, this is a true story. Many years ago, a friend of mine was a social worker, and he picked up a vagrant off the street. And because that person has been begging for money at a certain corner in Singapore for quite a long time. And often than not, social workers will come to try to help that person, but somehow they can't manage much. And once in a while, that person will come back again asking for money from everyone walking by that particular street in Singapore. And so one particular time when they managed to get this vagrant, they begin to check so-called his background. And they realized that he actually owned a small apartment. And so they went to that vagrant's house, and lo and behold, every room in the house are covered by money, by dollar notes. And they were so amazed by what they saw, because every room in the house was filled with cash. And so they decided to start so-called collect all this cash in those black garbage bag, and they started to count how much money that guy had, and they discover that vagrant has about $40,000 worth of $40,000 worth of wealth, in a sense. And so this is where it is that sometimes you and I know we are blessed, but we have not experienced the fullness of that blessing until we learn to grow in our revelation of it. So just like the vagrant who has all the money in the world, so-called $40,000, but he doesn't know how to spend it. And so he spent every day of his life begging for more, not so-called realizing he should spend with what he already have from what he has collected from others, from the kindness of others. And this could be our own situation as well, is that we have been so blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes we still pray, God, give me more blessing. But what happens if we truly live up according to the blessing that we already have in Christ? And so here is Paul telling the church that he prays the eyes of the understanding being enlightened. And the eyes of the understanding have to do with our heart, with our spirit, that he prays that our mind, our thought will be enlightened. And here this word enlightened literally means flooded with light, flooded with light. So it means that sometimes you and I will agree, not all the time we think positively. Not all the time we think in the right sense. You know, sometimes we get a phone call in the middle of the night, or sometimes we hear some bad news, or sometimes we get to hear stuff about things. We start to worry. We start to think of the dark things that can happen. Our mind starts spinning and go haywire or go to all kinds of direction, rather than us sitting by the revelation for what we have already in Jesus Christ. And so here he says to us that I pray the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, or being enlightened. It means when our understanding is being enlightened, we will discover who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ all over again. And the more we can identify ourselves in Christ, the more we will know how precious we are to Him, that through Christ we receive all things freely. And having this sense of spiritual light bring us into a further experience of the truth of who we are and what we have in Christ. And here Paul says that once the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, we will know what is the hope of His calling. Jesus calls us to be hopeful people. And of course, the Christian hope is not about escaping from trouble, or to have hope is about some wishful thinking that tomorrow will turn out better than today. But rather, when we are full of hope, the Bible tells us we are full of joy. And the hope is actually resting in the steadfast love of God. And when you and I say we have hope, it means we have this certain sure sense of confidence that our hope is not just in this life, but in the life that is to come. That our future, though look uncertain, our future is still filled with hope because God is already there. So in one sense, as believers, as sons and daughters of God, we should be rejoicing that God sees our victory even before we see our battle. And when we allow our hearts, our mind to be filled with the revelation, to be enlightened by just the pure light of who Christ is to us, we are people of hope. Then we can sing that song that says, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And so it's so important, you know, to pray life-changing prayer is not just to pray for ourselves, but to pray for our community. But the next thing we need to pray is that we will grow in our spiritual understanding. We will grow to know who we are and what we have in Christ, knowing that when God so-called empower us by enlightening the eyes of our of understanding to know who Christ is to us, we are filled with hope. The third thing we can understand is what Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:19 is to experience power. So we pray for each other that we will grow to love one another. Then we talk about us growing in our understanding of who we are and what we have in Christ. And the third thing we pray in Ephesians 1:19 is to experience the power of God. Here he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And this is quite interesting prayer. It is almost superlative to understand so-called the exceeding greatness of God's power. But here Paul is saying to us, this power of God is working in us right now. And in a sense, when we talk about exceedingly greatness, it means there is no limit to what God wants to do in and through us. Hallelujah. And this word power is the Greek word dunamis. And dunamis appears about 100 over times in the New Testament. And Paul mentioned it about 49 times in his epistles. But in Ephesians alone, he mentioned it about 5 times. And dunamis actually means military might or military strength. And when we talk about army, we also talk about its size, but we also must talk about the strength, how much weapon they have. And that determines so-called the outcome of a war if an army is engaged in a battle. So in that sense, when we discover the dunamis of God, we discover there is no limit of the power of God. And if I know there's no limit to the power of God, when I start to pray for my community, when I start to pray for my city, when I begin to pray for my country, that people will have the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it also means that God is going to be part of this whole thing that I'm praying for. That so when I pray, I'm partnering with God. I'm partnering with His supernatural power to be at work. And it is so important, you know, right now, I just spoke to a friend of mine, a pastor in Nepal. He was sharing with me that since the COVID-19 lockdown in Nepal itself, about 1,000 people committed suicide because they lost their job, they lost their livelihood. And that is a tragedy. And that is a tragedy. But he and his church came together. They began to pray. They began to pray for God to transform their city. They began to ask God to help. And God created the opportunity for them to be a blessing, that even though they have nothing much, they don't have much material resources, but God was able to multiply the works of their hands. And also, I was talking to another friend of mine that, you know, since this COVID-19 situation where churches could not meet and every church on earth, you know, have gone online, statistics that tells us about 100,000 people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a particular country just through people watching the churches that was streaming online. And even in Australia alone, in Perth alone, it is very hard to share the gospel with people who are not yet believers. But I know of a few pastors, they've been receiving phone calls after people have logged into their church website to hear the sermon that was live streamed. And many of them start to ask spiritual questions. So in that sense, you know, sometimes we feel we are limited by our life situation. But when we begin to pray, when we begin to believe, when we begin to trust the revelation God gives us, and this is what Paul says, that church, we all must pray to experience the power of God. The power of God is not good that you have it here. The power of God is not good you have it here. The power of God is good when you begin to experience the working of His mighty power in our midst. So that, and here was Paul telling us how powerful is His power, that this power is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that that sits Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And this power is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age and also in the age to come. I show you a picture. I think most of you are familiar that where is Wally. And this is how you and I must have that kind of spirit where we come to understand the power of God, is to discover the precious jewel in God's word, to discover the treasure in that God has for us in Christ. And so we all know this picture about where's Wally, and sometimes we just need to zoom in and then start to spot where Wally is. But this is how we should sometimes approach the Word of God. We should engage ourselves in the Word of God to discover those nuggets of truth. And when we discover those nuggets of truth, people, when God gives us wisdom, where we can apply it in our lives, we will experience the very power of God. And here is Paul telling us this power of God is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus right now is in the right hand of the Father, that he's sitting in the right hand in the heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in age to come. So right now, people, we are not people hoping for a better tomorrow. We're not people hoping that God will turn situation for us, just hoping that will happen. But rather, now we are blessed with all things in Christ, because this power of Jesus Christ, as Paul tells us in verse 22 to 23, is that he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over the things to the church, to head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is it. That right now you and I have the fullness of him who fills all in all. As I said at the beginning of this sermon, that none of us is less off. None of us are deprived. Every one of us are equally blessed in Jesus' name. Every one of us has been blessed by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are a child of God, you know, God's power, God's mighty power is at work in you already. And so right now, if you are still struggling with fear in your life, or there are situations you don't like about yourself, or there are situations you are struggling to overcome, you know, what you need to know is to keep on trusting and believing to experience God's mighty power to overcome temptation and live a life that brings God's glory in a greater sense. And so right now, if you and I, you know, come to this part in our journey that sometimes we miss out on the blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, my encouragement to you is start praying this prayer. Just 9 verses. If you commit yourself to memorize this prayer, or write this prayer and plant and paste it in your car or in your kitchen fridge, in your kitchen fridge or in your bathroom, and start praying this 9 verses every day. Not religiously, but pray out of revelation. I'll tell you, you will experience the mighty power of God in your life. So may God continue to bless us in the hearing of his word, and let us pray. Father, we thank you for your mighty power at work in us. We thank you that we can pray life-changing prayer, knowing that this power doesn't come from us. This power comes from you, and that we already possess this power. We pray that, Father, you continue to grow us in the revelation of how we ought to pray and how we can pray for our community, for our city, for our country. That, Father, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be upon every one of us, and not just us, that people who yet to know you, that, Father, somehow they will call on to you. They will want to understand the hope of the calling that they have in Jesus' name. We pray that, Father, even right now, that as a people of God, we are going to experience you in the most powerful sense of the word, that, Lord, that we do not just want to have head knowledge, but we want to have a heart experience of who you are. And we want to have that real sense of that, Lord, you're working in our lives. And so right now, in Jesus' name, we pray for every person, for every household, that no matter what they are struggling with right now, no matter what days they are facing, I know that, Lord, your power is at work in them. In the name of Jesus, that, Lord, I pray that there will be breakthroughs. In the name of Jesus, there will be the mighty working of your power in every person. That, Lord, you transform every heart. You transform every person. That they will live gloriously, knowing that, Lord, you love them so perfectly and so completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So please stay tuned for our video that's coming up soon, and may God continue to bless you in this coming week. May you experience His presence in the most gracious way. Amen.